This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hi, I'm Kenny Omega, and you are listening to the New Japan Purecast. You fools!
All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purecast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. It is a Sunday morning, December 18th, and Damon, we have got a lot to talk about on today's episode because we are going to be reviewing the Road to the Tokyo Dome shows that took place this past weekend on the 16th and the 17th, live from Korakuen Hall. We are going to be previewing the Wrestle Kingdom 11 card, and we've got some miscellaneous news and notes to get into today. But Damon, do you realize that this is the final Purocast of 2016, which means that this is the first full year that we have been doing this podcast? Now, besides your marriage, have you ever stuck with anything this long in your life before?
Yeah. I mean, I've had jobs where I've been there long. Yeah. I mean, not much, to be truthful. I could probably count it on one hand, but yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not that much of a, I am a bit of a king of start, stop.
Well, that's why I asked. I know that about you.
I am. It is pretty bad with me. I get really interested in something for about a month, and then after that, I'm just like, I peter myself out with it. But yeah, the last show of 2016, right?
Yes,
right.
16.
Yeah. New Japan held their last two shows of the year, and you can feel it in the air, Colin. A lot of people getting excited. It's the holiday season, and a little crispness in the air up here in the Northeast United States. And that means one thing, that Tokyo Dome will be filled to the rafters. No, it won't be filled to the rafters. It'll be probably around, I'm going to say 30,000. I'm going to say 30,000 will be in the house, paid.
That would be an improvement from this past year.
It would be. Well, I mean, listen, at least 450,000 North Americans are going over to this goddamn show, it feels like.
Apparently.
Yeah, there are a lot. There are a lot. I dare say that this will be the most attended Tokyo Dome show from people outside of Japan. I'm going to give an unofficial prediction on that. I think because I'm barraged, and it's a constant stream of texts and Facebook messages and posts tagging me, wanting information. And so there are a lot of people, and rightfully so. I think this show, top to bottom, it looks fucking tremendous. And if you're not excited, I saw Dave talking about it, and he's like,
I was just going to bring that up, actually.
Oh my God. I mean, he says this every year. He really does. It's the same tire. I'm excited for it. I don't get it. You got fresh matchups up top. You got guys who are going to have their working shoes on, who are at the top of their game. He's worried about Tanahashi being – since the day I've met you, we've always been like, well, Tanahashi's hurt. But you know what? When the time comes, he's always there. Why would this be any different? Nothing to worry about. Tanahashi's the least of my concerns with this Tokyo Dome show.
The only thing I'm concerned about is that he's changing his theme music.
That does suck, doesn't it? It does suck. I heard that news, and yes, people have changed their theme songs. But you know, it's sometimes it becomes iconic, and sometimes, you know, just the opening notes to a theme song, you know, get you juiced up, get you ready to rock and roll.
I said to you before we went on the air, could you imagine if Shawn Michaels was still an active performer today and he changed his sexy boy theme to, like, I don't know, it just wouldn't be right.
Well, look, I know you got a hard on for fucking Shawn Michaels, but look, he's had it changed. It changed a little bit, right? Sherry Martel did it first. Listen, people change their music and people will get over it. It's just, you know, it's
imagine if the Undertaker came out to La Cucaracha.
Ah, fuck the Undertaker.
Wow.
I don't give a shit what he comes out to.
Strong words.
But here's the thing. I don't, you know, people change their music. And again, I get the fact that it is a nice warm blanket that people can wrap themselves around. And when they hear the tune, they know what to expect. But people will get over it. It'll take a couple months, but it'll be fine. You'll be fine. You might even love the music even more. And it's to me, it was a little disappointing, a little shocking out of the gate. But you know what? People change their music all the time.
And Tanahashi is, to his credit, trying to evolve. And, you know, he realizes that he is at a different point in his career right now. So who knows? Maybe
he may be. Colin, he may be. But guess what? Judging by the crowd reactions at Corrigan,
he's still the ace.
He's still one of the top guys. Now, listen, Naito, every time he comes out, it seems like the crowd get louder and louder. I think Kenny Omega does very well for himself when it comes to crowd reactions.
Especially with the females, I noticed.
Yeah.
You ever notice that when Kenny Omega comes out, it seems to be the females in attendance that are the most energized.
Energized is the word that he used. But Kenny Omega is kind of like this in between heel, you know, it's hard for me to even categorize him as a heel at this point. You know, he's
his own animal.
He doesn't really act like a traditional heel by any stretch of the imagination. Yes, he does heelish things to get himself over going into this dome. This is exactly what we wanted. Or let me take that back. It was exactly what I wanted leading up to the dome, making him look as strong as humanly possible and one wing angeling everything in his path and in his sight. I think I've seen Okada on his back and eating one winged angels at least 7 times this past week, it feels like. No, I think they're doing the smart thing. I think, but yes, to answer your question, yeah, he does seem to be very popular with the young ladies.
I was laughing because on last week's episode, you had mentioned that you don't want these guys to physically exert themselves in any way, shape, or form. And how did the last show end on the 17th? It ended with Okada being one-winged angel through a table on the outside and being carted out on a stretcher.
Yeah. Well, it's the last lasting impression that people will have going into the Dome show. So, again, you want to make sure that your challenger is strong. Put him right through it. And his hand was pretty, you see his hands, it was all kind of cut and fucked up. Omega's. So, I know. Trust me. I was like, what are you doing? But I think that last match was, not to spill the beans and give away anything here, but, I really enjoyed that last match, the Fale Omega, Yoshihashi Okada match. I thought that was very well done.
That was a great match.
Yeah, and again, you know what I forgot though? The snow. I forgot that they always do.
I was waiting for that.
The little snow at the end. Last year was Tanahashi, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Basking in the faux blizzard. That's the name of my new album, by the way. Faux blizzard.
I like
good,
it.
Right? Nice.
Very avant-garde.
Yeah. We're a synth pop band.
Of course you are.
Of course we are. This year was Bullet Club standing in the blizzard. So those are always enjoyable shows. These two shows at Cork, and I think I like night two a little bit better than I like night one. But I think there was a lot of stuff that you could take from these shows. And what do you say? Do you want to get into that first, or I'm going to give you the choice, Colin. So again, you're steering the boat as you always do. You are the guiding light.
El Capitan.
Which way you want to go first? You want a little taste of the New Japan Puro Cast Awards? You want a little taste of that? Or do you want to jump right into a review of these two shows.
Well, since I am steering the boat.
Yes.
And since you did mention that the challenger, Kenny Omega, is strong, I actually had a question in mind that I wanted to pose to you. So, you know, I'm taking us on a little detour here.
We're going off course here. We're going off-road.
Yep, we're going off-roading in our ATV here, the PuroCast ATV.
Right. The monster truck that you're going to drive off the side of the building.
That's right. But yeah, you had mentioned Kenny Omega, the challenger for the IWGP heavyweight title at the Tokyo Dome, being strong, which he certainly is. Now, here's my question. Kenny Omega has seemingly gotten the upper hand over Okada for a long time now. Do you think that it is almost impossible for him to walk away victorious since he's, you know, come out on top over Okada so many times? Because I can't remember the last time Okada got the better of Kenny Omega. So it almost feels like, man, Okada really has to win this match at the Dome. Yeah.
I had similar feelings. I'm not going to lie. I got what I wanted in the sense that you're making Omega look strong. But, yeah, it does feel in a sense of, man, Okada's almost kind of got to get the upper hand here. These shows, I was probably 60-40 Omega winning. I was 60-40 Omega winning. I'm really, really split. I'm absolutely right down the fucking middle split.
And that's a good thing, I think.
That is a great thing, I think. That's a great thing. And there's a lot of different reasons why you could be split. I mean, again, there's all this talk about how New Japan wants to the way that you read the tweets, it felt like, you know, they wanted to go to war. They were ready to go to war with the evil empire of the WWE. And, you know, is Kenny Omega going to be that guy? Yeah, of course, you had Meltzer talking about, you know, how, you know, it looked like Omega was going to be the guy. There has been whispers to me that Omega was going to be the guy. I don't know. I'm not 100%. It's hard. And really, it's going to come down to that day and how many title changes occur before that main event is really going to be the deciding factor. If there's not a lot of title changes, there's going to be a title change up top. If fucking every other belt is flip-flopping around, I don't know if they would change it. I don't know if they would change it. There's got to be some redemption for Okada, too. I might be leaning Okada as of 11:39 a.m. on the 18th. I might be leaning Okada, but man, it's by an ass hair. It's not by much.
Well, what's the number one thing that creates an interesting, great pro wrestling match?
You don't know who's going to win.
Exactly, and the word I'm looking for is drama.
Yeah,
and there is certainly going to be a lot of drama going into this match.
Well, drama, one, you don't know who's going to win or lose. That's awesome to me. That makes it a lot more exciting. That's 100% for sure. And two, both these guys are at their absolute fucking peak. Like right now you're seeing history. You're seeing two guys physically. And everybody kind of turns to 30s. You know, early 30s is when really guys start really reaching their peak. And Okada is late 20s. I think Omega is late 20s, too.
Omega actually just turned 33.
Okay, so there you go. There's Omega right in the wheelhouse.
And Okada's 29.
Okay, so again, right there, kind of right in that, right against it.
Right in that meaty part of the curve.
Right in the meaty part. That's exciting. I mean, that's, to me, that's like seeing Steamboat Flair in their prime. That's exciting to me.
What's even more exciting is that these guys have never had a singles match before in their careers.
Never had a singles match before in their careers. Again, the stage means a lot. This is an important match.
We haven't had a fresh Tokyo Dome main event in a long time, meaning a match that has never took place before.
Yeah.
When was the last time that happened at the Dome?
You're putting me on the spot, but I mean, maybe like, I mean, like Nakamura Lesnar.
Yeah, right.
We
had a Brock Lesnar question on our Twitter, by the way. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Oh, yeah. What was that?
Someone was just asking what your overall thoughts were of his tenure in New Japan.
It was horrible. It was horrific.
There you go.
I mean, honestly,
that was easy.
No, really. But the worst part about it was that the motherfucker held the company hostage. He had the title, and he was like, "I ain't showing up anymore. Fuck you."
Oh, Brock.
I mean, you know, well, I mean that, and the fact that WWE wasn't too thrilled with him going over, and all it was just a mess. It was, you never knew what the fuck you were going to get with him, and I don't even think the matches were that great, to be quite frank. No, I think that was a disaster. I understand why they did what they did, New Japan, but that was not good. Just all the way around. Because again, you're world champion. You didn't know what you were getting with the guy. You didn't know if he was going to show up for the next show. Yeah. Horrific.
That's our Q&A portion of the show, folks.
Right. All right. So listen. Now listen. You want a little early returns? Now that we're talking a little election coverage. You want some early returns on the awards? I know people are super excited. Exit polling. Some you know, like during the presidential election, it was like New York's return come in like 9:01.
Yeah.
It's like, and we can predict New York. Well, that's what we're going to kind of do here in some of these. I'll tell you something. Wrestler of the year, too close to call. And that's going to go down to the fucking wire just by the early returns that are in. I've done less than half of the votes, but early returns, it's too close to call. And Colin, not for nothing, it is a three-dog race. It's a three-dog race.
Three-dog night.
It's a three-dog night between Omega, Okada, and Naito.
That's no surprise to me.
Yeah, but I didn't think Okada was going to be as tight. He's tight. He's in there.
I did just because I was monitoring the voting mm-hmm. in its infancy, and I noticed a tremendous amount of ballots coming in of people picking Okada as their number one wrestler of the year. So that doesn't surprise me, actually.
He's right up there. Here's where Omega has plenty of number ones. Number twos is where he's knocking them dead. Number twos. It's close on the number ones, but the number twos, he's head and shoulders away. Match of the year, too close to call. I would say the early favorites are Tana Okada from Wrestle Kingdom and Omega Naito G1.
That's no surprise to me as well.
Those two are doing very well for themselves. One match that I'm kind of surprised isn't doing as well as I thought out of the gate so far is Ospreay and Ricochet.
Yeah, interesting.
They've got a lot of third place votes. They got a lot of third place votes so far, but not many. No first place votes as of right now is my counting. There were a couple stragglers. There were a couple people that made AJ Nakamura their number one match.
I saw that as well.
Yeah, two so far that I've counted. So there you go. You have that.
The Ricochet Ospreay thing kind of surprises me, considering that is such an American match. You know what I mean? And it had such a big impact here in the States that, quite frankly, I am a bit surprised that more people didn't pick that as their number one match.
Well, again, early returns. I still have a fuck ton to do. So these are early returns. I think I'm going to say that it's a two-dog race, and one is definitely in the lead with the juniors. Kushida has plenty of number one votes. Ospreay does not have plenty of number ones, but he has plenty of number twos. So the majority of the people went Kushida, Ospreay in their voting, and truth be told, Ricochet 3. Taguchi's got a lot of third-place votes. Liger had a couple second-place votes.
Wow, people writing in Jushin Thunder Liger.
That is correct. Seidel even got a third place vote that I saw so far. You know, he's out of jail now, right?
Yeah, I was just going to say, speaking of Matt Seidel, right. He was at the...
You got the bail money up. You got the bail money up. You had the GoFundMe. Was that you?
He was at the PWG show this past weekend, their mystery vortex show or whatever they call it. Mm-hmm. And he was announced as being from the Osaka Detention Center.
Did he really? No, shut up, really?
Yep. Because apparently he wasn't in an actual prison jail. He was in a detention center in Osaka, that means.
Yeah, what is the difference? I do not want to experience either of those situations. No, thank you. Tag team of the year, Colin. This is a slam dunk. So as I've counted right now, Seidel and Ricochet have one first place vote. G.O.D. Mustered up two first place votes.
Yeah, two.
So Tonga Loa's mom and cousin have voted,
and Haku
has voted. Haku has casted a vote, and the Briscoes have gotten one. So of all the votes I've counted, there's only four first place votes that did not go to the Young Bucks so far. The Young Bucks are crushing this category.
Nothing's officially yet.
Nothing, of course. Again, early returns.
And plus, the Electoral College still has to vote.
Exactly. We got to get Bill Apter in on this. We got to get Dave Meltzer, Eric from the Classic Board. He's got to, you know.
We got to get Vince Russo in on this.
Who? Tatsumi Fujinami's got to chime in. No, but again, early returns. I'm giving you guys a little taste, a little behind the curtain. Show of the year. This is going to be a Wrestle Kingdom. I think it's going to be either Wrestle Kingdom or King of Pro Wrestling. King of Pro Wrestling. It's a lot of the voting's going Wrestle Kingdom 1, King of Pro Wrestling 2.
I could have saw. I could see one of the G1s winning, actually.
G1s are doing good, but the problem is that a lot of times the votes are getting split. So the 13th show has more first place votes than the 12th, but the 12th has more second place votes than the 13th, and that's what's keeping them neck. It's really keeping it neck and neck.
The 13th show had that Omega Naito match, I believe.
No. Yeah. Correct.
And
correct.
The 12th was
Tanahashi Omega.
Right. Okada.
Tanahashi Okada. Yeah. Yeah. Power Struggle got a couple votes. Most improved. This one's too close to call. Juice is right there. Evil is right there. Yoshihashi is right there. Finley, almost to a person, Finley is getting the third place votes. So Finley's dominating the third place votes, but Juice and Evil are neck and neck. Yoshihashi's doing pretty well. Yoshihashi's really good across the board. G.O.D. got a write-in vote.
G.O.D. for most improved. Wow.
Tonga Roa got a most improved vote.
Tonga Loa has most improved. Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know if I see that myself quite yet, but.
No, me neither, but hey, every vote counts. Disappointment, it's too close to call. I think it's pretty neck and neck across the board between the tags, between Osprey, between the Super J Cup. What else we got here? Unsung Hero. I'll tell you what. Nagata has gotten he's doing very well for himself. Goto is doing very well. And Michael Elgin is doing very well. Michael Elgin is really racking up the second place votes.
Fair because Big Mike had his fair share of really good matches in 2016, especially that one with Nakajima from the G1.
I agree. And again, if placement on Wrestle Kingdom cards mean anything, yeah, the motherfucker's underrated. Hey, did you hear about Elgin and Ring of Honor?
I did not. Enlighten us.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't think it's I'm breaking any news here, but Mike is not too happy with the Ring of Honor peeps, and he is no longer wrestling any shows for Ring of Honor. He did mention that on his Twitter account. And as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, he has blocked Kevin Kelly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Our buddy.
Yeah, it's like mom and dad are fighting.
I don't know what to do.
So that's that's that. I know Mike was a little upset because he wasn't getting booked for a lot of these Ring of Honor shows, these bigger shows. If you notice, his name is not on the marquee. So
so it's safe to say that Michael Elgin is an official New Japan Pro Wrestling superstar, exclusively. Yeah,
well, I mean, in the States, he's got his own promotion that he's doing out there in St. Louis.
He's got his school.
Yeah, it seems a little exciting, actually. I'm actually some of the names that, you know, student-wise and independent-wise, it's a good start.
Damon McDonald.
No, not me. No, no fucking way am I getting in
the
ring.
Hey, DDP got into the ring at a later age, so there's still hope for you, Damon.
There's only one way I'm getting in the ring, and that is with Liger. He gives me a palm strike. I take one bump and 1, 2, 3. We're done. But yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm not breaking any news here. It's all on Mike's Twitter account. But yeah, and not for nothing, he's in this fucking rumble. I mean, we can't find a spot for Mike, and it's not because he's hurt. The company knew he was fine. He's healthy. He's fine. He's ready to go. He may not, you know, be at 100% strength wise that he was before, but trust me, he'll be fine for the Dome.
We're going to talk about this more as we preview the Wrestle Kingdom 11 card. But I think that Michael Elgin originally was penciled in to face Cody Rhodes.
Okay, I mean that's fine. To lose to Cody Rhodes, I don't think that's a good spot for Michael Elgin. I think that's a good role for Juice.
And that's a good match for Cody Rhodes, by the way. Like, if they were going to match somebody up with him to face, Juice is probably the perfect person because obviously they come from the same system.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully Juice forgot everything he learned there, but yeah, that's, does kind of make sense. Okay. And then real quickly, it's too close to call on favorites. You got your usuals. I'm sure everyone can guess your Omegas, your Naitos, your Ishii's, Shibata's all in the mix, Tanahashi, Okada. Not favorite, most hated, not least favorite. It's a two horse race, and I'm kind of surprised by it. Bone Soldier won. Okay, we all know that. So Bone Soldier is up there at the top. But take a guess at who the other guy is.
I'm gonna say Yujiro.
No.
Tonga Loa.
No.
Chase Owens.
No.
Who could it
Yoshitatsu.
Oh yeah, you know what? I did see quite a bit of Yoshitatsu write-ins.
I mean, it is legit neck and neck. That kind of surprised me a little bit. I mean, listen, Yoshitatsu does nothing for me. But the least favorite? It is too close to call in the not fan precinct. But it's tight. That's going to be a tight race.
I hear that Yoshitatsu is going to Mexico.
Yeah, I don't know how long he's staying, but yeah, apparently he's going to do a couple dates at minimum. We'll see how long he stays. Listen, the longer, the better. New Japan has just got a roster that is just too full. It's just too full. Every show you have to have, you know, 3 6-man tags to fit people on the show. It's ridiculous. They got too much talent. And then, you know, we haven't even talked about any of the new Noah guys, and it looks like they're shoehorning in Yano and Ishii. Look, they got too much fucking people.
They're going to have a three-way for the tag titles, it's looking like.
It smells like it, doesn't it? And again, we'll get there. I know we're all over the place. But, you know, there's people that got to go. There's people that have to go. And Bone Soldier is one of them, right? Yoshitatsu is another one. I hate to be this guy, but, you know, let's be honest here. A Chase Owens? I don't know if there's room for Chase Owens anymore. This roster is just too massive. Now listen, there has to be some people that lie down. I get that. There has to be people to put people over. I get that. This roster is just too it's bursting at the seams, and there's just not enough spots. All right. So that's that. That's the early returns. We'll have our when are we doing our award show, Colin? Why don't you prime everybody for that?
Well, our award show being that this show that you are currently listening to right now is the last show of 2016. The New Japan Purocast second annual year-end awards is going to be posted on New Year's Day, January 2017. So what a way to ring in the new year than by loading up the Purocast and finding out who are the recipients of the prestigious awards.
There you go. I'll be getting ready. Hopefully you'll have it uploaded in the morning so I can download it and have it for my flight, my voyage over. I leave on the 1st.
Absolutely. That is going to be up New Year's Day, bright and early.
Nicey nice. So I'll have that to entertain myself, listening to myself on the plate.
You love it.
I do. I'm laughing myself. But yeah, you can nurse your hangover, kids, right? Have a little leftovers and then listen to us.
It is a black tie affair, though. So
it is a black tie affair, people. Please put on, please dress appropriately. No PJs, no, don't sit there in your underwear. Look respectable. So we'll have that again. We're recording that New Year's Eve day, and then New Year's Day, it'll be up and ready to go. So there you go. Exciting news for all of our listeners. And again, I'm working on having an award and working on having that presented to the person that you voted for Wrestler of the Year. So that will be an exciting thing. Again, I don't have anything concrete. I don't have anything. I don't even know who the winner is, to be honest with you, right now. But when we do, I'll have the award made. And at the very least, I'm going to hand it to somebody who I trust that would give it to them. But I would hope that, listen, if this company is looking to make some inroads in North America, you know, we've got thousands of people voting on this New Japan Purecast Award. You would think that they would grant me 5 minutes and present this prestigious award to the winner Wrestler of the Year.
All right, well, there you have it, folks. Damon, thank you for those early exit polling results there. And what do you say we get right into these Road to the Tokyo Dome shows that took place on the 16th and the 17th, the final shows of 2016 for New Japan Pro Wrestling. So let's kick it off with Friday the 16th, of course, from Korakuen Hall, with a crowd of 1,730, according to our friends over at PuroWrestuSpirit.net. And the first match was a tag match featuring the team of Yuji Nagata, Yoshitatsu, and Ryusuke Taguchi taking on Manabu Nakanishi, Tiger Mask, and Henare. Taguchi picking up the win for his team here with the ankle lock on Henare. I think that the story of this match was really to build to the following night, the big showdown between Yuji Nagata and Nakanishi, which I can't wait to talk about.
Yeah, that was your end result after the recipe was completed. I liked Henare in this match. I really thought he shone, shine, sheened in this match.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, Henare, one of the young lions who you look at, and he has a different allure than all the rest. He just has a certain quality about him, and that really showed in this match, I think.
Yeah, I love the fact that, you know, there were some moments where Henare looked like he was going to get the upper hand. Again, I like those little T spots. I thought Taguchi was good. Again, this is the first match. Six-man tag, opening match of the show, but I thought it delivered. I had no problems with it, and again, it's not a classic match by any stretch, but good match, right? Solid match, and I think the little nugget at the end, at first you're thinking, well, I mean, why spill the beans? Why not spill the beans right now, Colin? It's Nakanishi gets on the mic, challenges Nagata to, lo and behold, on the next night, a singles match, Colin.
That's right.
Give me your level of anticipation and excitement going into that announcement.
Well, my level of excitement going into it, I mean, on paper, Yuji Nagata versus Manabu Nakanishi, that's yikes.
Right. I mean, it has all the trappings of yikes. But here's the thing. Again, I don't speak the Japanese, mind you, but
neither does Kenny Omega.
When he got on the mic, I thought he was just, you know, giving him some lip service, just giving him a little chitter chatter. Didn't seem like there was a challenge that was issued or anything that was set in stone. So it really didn't come upon me until later on that evening when you got the word of the card for the following day. the following Corkin show. So it didn't really register with me 100% that that was a challenge for a singles match. But when I found that it was a singles match, I got to be honest with you. Couldn't believe what I was hearing. Like, why would they, in their right mind, put Nakanishi in a spot like that? In a singles match where the guy's going to have to go, okay, at minimum, 8 minutes, right? In a singles match, he's probably going to have to go 8 minutes. He's going to die in the ring. We sit here and we, you know, sometimes giggle under our breaths at, you know, the performances that he's able to churn out during some of these tag matches. And it's like, whoo wee, he's going to kill somebody. He's going to kill, you know, he's working hard, but boy, oh boy. And then to put him into a singles match where there are no tags. There's no one he can tag out to. I was genuinely worried. I was actually concerned. Like, what are they doing?
Let's leave our audience in anticipation there. Let's end it on that thought until we actually get into the match on night two. So that's what we're building towards. Nagata versus Nakanishi, night two. So that took care of the build for that in the first match here on night one. And second match for the 16th, Tomohiro Ishii versus Chase Owens. Damon, you were texting me yesterday.
Read them. Go ahead. Yeah, don't read the text. Let me make sure you can read the text. Let me make sure.
I'm not sure I can.
No, I probably not. Look. You go first, Colin, please. I'm butting all in here. Go ahead.
Tomohiro Ishii. I mean, there's a reason why he is one of the five nominees in Wrestler of the Year for these PuroCast Year-End Awards. I mean, we talked about it last week extensively. This guy has had a fucking tremendous year. And one of the things that makes Ishii great is that I think that he's able to elevate whoever he is in the ring with.
How did you hear?
I can't exactly say that he was able to accomplish that feat against Mr. Chase Owens.
It's funny that you mentioned the word elevate, because there are more than one spot where it felt like Chase could not elevate his posterior over a top rope or on a backslide or a skin. It was just like he just has this. It looks like it's like a dead weight. Like he just looks like it. Listen, again, pro wrestling is a bit of a dance. There's a give and a take. You're helping somebody out. We all know the deal. It feels to me like he has no spring, no bounce, no. Let me help you get me up in him. Like he just seems like he is such fucking dead weight. He did not have a good match. He did not have a good match with Ishii. It was an okay at best match, but you're in the ring with arguably one of the best guys in the business right now. You got to do better than okay. If you got the spotlight on you, for your 8 minutes, you got to do better than okay. The match was okay.
How many snowflakes would you throw at this? Two?
Yeah, I mean, two and a half.
Two and a half, meaning that it was a fair match. It was okay.
Again, it was an okay match. You don't have okay matches with Ishii in a singles match. You just don't. I don't know how you do.
The minimum that you should get is 3 stars, I think.
I mean, it's hard for me to understand how that occurs.
In any case, Tomohiro Ishii picking up the win with his brain buster finish, and there you go. We move on to the third match of the evening, and we have the team of Hiroyoshi Tenzan, Satoshi Kojima, and David Finlay taking on Sanada, Evil, and Bushi, Los Ingobernables de Japón.
Well, I think we're all gearing up for a six-man tag, a little six-man tag action. I like the Los Ingobernables side. I think it's a nice fit and a nice role for every one of those guys. Gives them something to do. Again, it's a hot potato belt, it feels like. Even though we've had a nice long run for these current champions who are
Satoshi Kojima.
Uh-huh.
David Finlay. And Ricochet.
There you go.
I believe that they are the longest reigning Never Trios champions in history.
They're the Bruno Sammartino of...
They're the Bob Backlund.
Yeah, they're the Harley Race of the champions. Okay. I mean, yeah, we're gearing up for a six-man tag, kids. I mean, that's what we're looking forward to here. And all the usual signature spots could be found, including your favorite. Am I right, Colin?
That's right. We saw little black mists and
the Japanese armbar, right? The Japanese arm drag.
And David Finlay turned into Newman from Jurassic Park, and then that allowed Evil to hit his finish and pick up the win. So LIJ looking hot going into the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah, I think. Well, we'll save our predictions. We'll save our predictions. But I think Los Ingobernables looking strong. Match was okay. I think the match was bad. It was all right. I mean, this whole show so far, to be truthful, has been bad. It's been there, right? Nothing horrific, but nothing terrible. And again, I think the Chase Owens Ishii match was disappointing. So I got to be honest with you. To this point, I'm kind of struggling through a show.
All right, next match, we had the team of Togi Makabe, Tomoaki Honma, and Juice Robinson taking on Tama Tonga, Tangaloa, and Bone Soldier. You know what my favorite part of this match was?
What's that?
So, you know how Juice does his shuck and jive punches, and he builds up to that last one. I think that he was striking Tangaloa, and right before the last shot, he just goes, "Merry Christmas, asshole." And then he slugs him. That was the best part of this match.
I think the asshole part was what made it. Like, if he said motherfucker, it wouldn't have been as funny.
No, because he always says motherfucker.
Part, yeah, asshole part was the best
Merry
part.
Merry Christmas, asshole.
Yeah, I think Juice did very well in this match.
He stole the text message that I'm going to send you on Christmas morning.
He intercepted it?
Yep.
That's not nice.
Juice works for the NSA.
Somebody wrote... something in their year-end awards, and they mentioned Juice and how, you know, he is like a little stick of dynamite. Like, he's a little firecracker in these matches, and it's, he's consistently that guy who, when he makes that hot tag, you know, he is a house of fire, and he does add a spark and an energy to a match, and I tend to agree with that. You know, Kojima was Kojima. The Bullet Club side was the Bullet Club side, and nothing to be. Was this? Am I confusing the matches here? Was this the spot where Juice was pole vaulted into the ring post, where he went to do the dive? He was caught by all three guys and then rammed into the post.
I don't know. I can't remember if that was night one or night two, but it could have been this night. I know the exact spot that you're talking about, though.
I really like that spot. I thought that was really well done.
That was cool. You're right.
I definitely dug that. Yeah, you know, six-man tags. Here we go.
Juice Robinson, though, getting the rub in this match.
Yes.
Hitting Tama Tonga with the unprettier, or as he calls it, the pulp friction, and picking up the win, pinning one half of the IWGP Tag Champions.
Biggest win to date, right? I would think, right? Right up there. Big pinfall win over a tag team champion. And I loved, again, he did the David Finlay sell. You know, when Finlay got the win over Liger, he saw a nice little shock surprise. I can't believe I fucking did it. Juice did very much the same here, so I like that as well. No, this was good. A lot of these matches on these shows, you did get, I don't want to say like the underdog getting the win. I don't know why I talked in a southern accent all of a sudden, but the underdog was getting the win. Juice, Taguchi, if I'm not mistaken, later on in the evening, this one or next, you had Takahashi getting wins. So again, guys who may not be the ace of their team were the guys who were winding up getting the pinfalls, which I actually enjoyed. I like that.
So we had a little story that developed after this match as Toru Yano appeared and just gave nutshots galore to everyone. I guess he came over on his arc from Noah.
Ah, you're never going to live me down.
Him and the Israelites.
Him and the Israelites. Did I tell you, just because I want to get back to Yano. So 2 days later, when I wake up in the morning, the alarm goes off and it's music. It's set to like a radio station. And the song that came on was All You Zombies by the Hooters. Colin, I kid you not. I laughed for 15 minutes. I couldn't believe it. Like, I haven't heard that song in years. And then we talk about it. And then, boom, there you go. Yano. So he does the bell ring gimmick, right?
Right.
So he's before a three count. He grabs the hammer, the bell hammer, and rings the bell early. Cause a distraction, and everybody looks, and what the fuck's going on? And lo and behold, it's Yano behind the timekeeper's bell.
Doing his Yano face.
Doing his shoulder shrug thing. And lo and behold, this leads to night number two. Now, I think we could spill the beans here, Colin, but it's looking like it's a Yano Ishii tag team, and I don't know how I feel about this.
Well, the thing that is confusing to me about all this is that Ishii already has a match at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, he's already involved in the Chaos Open Neverweight. You know, he's a Chaos representative.
Yes, Ishii, Yoshihashi, and Will Ospreay.
Right. So, again, I guess we got to tell the whole story because it doesn't make much sense.
I hope he competes twice. That would be unprecedented.
It'd be like Ricky Choshu when he went through, when he had his retirement tour at the Tokyo Dome Con. I don't know if you know this story, but when Ricky Choshu retired, his last match at the Tokyo Dome, he wrestled four guys, and one of them was Liger. He handpicked four guys that he would wrestle, so he won like three of those matches and lost one of those matches. I just remember that the matches weren't really that great, but it was pretty historic.
I've got to look up that Liger match.
Yeah, it was Liger Choshu. I think that was the fourth of four matches that night, and he won that match. He beat Liger. So again, so Yano rings the bell. Boom, boom, boom. Winds up pissing off pretty much everybody in the match. He pisses off G.O.D. He pisses off GBH, right? The next night, the same bullshit happens. Again, pisses him off, and then we get multiple ball shots and Yano clearing house, and then Yano gets pounded on, and Ishii comes in. And so then they wound up stealing the IWGP Tag Team Championship, Ishii and Yano. They stole them. They just picked them up and walked away.
Yano has the titles in his captivity currently.
Yeah. It's probably sitting in his bar right now. It's right around the corner, guys. That's what you get to do. So, again, I know we're fast-forwarding to the second show, but it makes sense in this whole review because now it seems like and it smells like that somehow, because the belts were stolen, which makes no fucking sense whatsoever, but okay, we'll get past that point, that it's now going to be a three-way dance?
Three-way dance, triple threat.
There you go. You can call it whatever you want. Nothing has officially been announced as of yet, but it looks like we're getting, whether by hook or by crook, them involved. Now, unless they decide, okay, the winner of the Dome match then takes on Ishii and Yano, maybe at Dash, possibly. I don't know. But it really did smell to me like, with Yano stealing the belts, the titles, that somehow Ishii and Yano are going to be involved in this fucking tag match at the Dome.
Well, I have two thoughts about that. Number one, Damon, shouldn't New Japan's governing body, the International Wrestling Grand Prix, intervene and go up to Yano and say, hey, we need those belts back?
You would think, you know, I would hope at least a telegram or some type of electronic correspondence be sent. Yes.
Yeah, something. Snail mail, a subpoena, whatever.
Right. Certified mail. Something.
My second thought is that maybe that they realized, Oh, boy. There's not a whole lot of interest in a second GBH versus GOD match. We've got to do something to make this at least a little bit different.
Yeah.
I guess this is something.
Okay, but now this is turning into the fucking junior heavyweight belts.
Which is exactly what we feared.
Right, we didn't want a multi-man schmoz here's the thing, to make up for the yearly multi-man schmoz that we normally get with the junior heavyweight belts, we're getting multi-man schmozes in everything else. It's fucking ridiculous. Again, we're trying to shoehorn 5 pounds of or 10 pounds of shit in a 5 pound bag. There's only so many hours the show can go on. It's ridiculous. And yeah, I think you're right. I think they did realize, well, maybe people don't give a shit and we got to add some extra spice to these tag belts. Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense, man. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, seriously, at the end of the day, if I'm a casual watcher of New Japan, I really and honestly think that you challenge and you become the number one contender for a title by showing up, pointing at them, pointing at the belt, and now you're the number one contender. Or now we can just steal the belts and just... You just show up at the end of the year and you're at the dome.
A la Hiromu Takahashi, although he did make up for that in the second night. And,
dude, let me tell you something.
Excuse me, first night.
Yeah, I think he's the MVP of these two nights.
Absolutely, and we're going to get into that momentarily. But it'll be interesting to see how this affects Ishii's position in the Never Trios match at the dome, because who could they, off the top of your head, who could they replace to represent the Chaos team alongside Osprey and Yoshihashi? Another Chaos member that's not on the card, but who would that be?
Yeah, I mean, Yoshihashi is in the mix already, right?
Yep.
Osprey is in the mix. I mean, fucking Sakuraba.
I don't even know where that guy is. When was the last time we saw him?
Last year. Like right around this time last year, he was on that MMA show and he got his ass handed to him.
Jesus.
Remember that?
Yeah. I remember us talking about it on this podcast.
Yeah. Sakuraba. That's your Chaos guy.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens if they still stick with the four-team format for this Never Trios match. But we're going to get into that in a little bit. I think we should move on to the next match of the evening, which was Katsuyori Shibata and Jushin Thunder Liger taking on Hirooki Goto and Jado.
I like this match.
I like this match too.
I kind of like this match. A couple different things. One, the tag team of Liger and Shibata. I mean,
that's gold. Gold, Jerry.
It is gold. And it is Fire Pro. So if anybody's got that sound clip, you might want to play it right now. Because that's a Fire Pro Wrestling fucking tag team, if ever. Fun fact here, Colin. So you had Liger and Shibata, right? Against, who was it? Goto and...
And Jado.
Jado, right? Well, aside from Shibata, I mean, you were looking at a CTU reunion, right? You remember CTU, Liger's heel faction, right? So Goto was a member. Jado was a member. If you remember back, the artist formerly known as Prince Devitt, former member of CTU. So, everybody in that ring, minus Shibata, was CTU members. Again, Liger's offshoot from the Black Japan stable. This is around 2001-ish, I want to say. But I found that very interesting.
Was this like the Red NWO, the Wolfpack?
Yeah, kind of. It was a nice little vehicle for Liger to do his little heel thing. Again, named after what famous TV show, Colin?
CTU?
Yeah.
I'm drawing a blank here.
24. Jack Bauer.
Ah, okay. See, I never watched it.
You never watched 24?
Nope, never watched it.
Wow, I watched 24, the first couple seasons, actually. I was a big 24 kind of guy. Shocking that I would even stick it out that long. So CTU reunion in the ring there. So I found that interesting. The second thing I found interesting, the one spot, Goto's in the corner. We're ready to have Shibata do a little forearm pounding. So he's boom, boom, boom in the corner. And here comes Shibata to try to make the save. And he just turns around and looks at him and is like, what the fuck? You know, like, seriously, you're a little gnat. Just pounds the shit out of him and then goes back and does the drop kick in the corner. I found that spot very interesting. It made me more excited. Did what it needed to do. Made me more excited for Shibata Goto come to Dome.
And that's what these shows are all about at the end of the day.
It did. And again, it raised my level. I think that match is going to be great. I think that's an underrated match. I think it's under a lot of people's radar.
It really is. I mean, there's not a tremendous amount of heat, at least in my estimation, going into that match. But you know it's going to be great. You know it's going to be great.
Right. Listen, when the time comes and the spotlight is bright, those two motherfuckers are going to be able to go. We know it. Come on. Let's stop downplaying it. Get hyped for this.
Yeah.
It's good.
Every year at Wrestle Kingdom, we have the beat the shit out of each other match.
This is it.
That's what Shibata Goto is going to be, and I can't wait for it because those are my favorite kind of matches at the Dome. So
I'm going to go out on a limb, Colin. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say Goto Shibata is going to be your favorite match when it comes January 5th.
I think that you're onto something because what was my favorite match from this past year's Wrestle Kingdom?
Well, Ishii Shibata. And Ishii's a different level to me. Ishii's more of a maniac to me, right?
Yeah, Ishii is turned up to 11, as Spinal Tap would do.
Yeah, he's a maniac. But, guys, again, Goto, let's just go back to the summer. Rewatch Omega and Goto final. Tell me this guy's not a prime time player. He's fucking up. He's ready to go. This is going to be a good match. Get excited for this one.
So Hirooki Goto picking up the win for his team, hitting his GTR on Jushin Thunder Liger. And we move on to the semi-main event of the evening, featuring the team of Kazuchika Okada, Yoshihashi, and Gedo, taking on Kenny Omega, Bad Luck Fale, and Yujiro Takahashi.
Yep. So again, we talked about it earlier in the show how guys that you maybe wouldn't expect getting the pinfalls got them. So Takahashi got the fall on Gedo, and again, this was billed as a build for the Dome, right? Just like a lot of these matches were. So Yoshihashi looked really good. I think Yoshihashi. I say it 1,000 times, if he would just change his look, man, he could be even a bigger star. He could be a real legitimate star.
If he loses the staff, number one, I don't think that staff is doing him any favors. His hair, I'm currently okay with right now. He got rid of that. I remember it used to look like an Easter egg at one
the
point.
Pink, you weren't a fan of the pink?
No, that didn't do him any favors.
Yeah. Match was okay. It was better. I think it was a little bit better than average. The Omega Okada stuff was solid. I think night two really told more of a story of getting you excited for it. But yeah, I think that the match was okay.
Yeah, this was just a taste.
It really was. It was small little morsels of Okada and Omega. I don't think this is anything that you need to go out of your way to see. I think there are better options for that, i.e. the next show. But this was a fine match. Not bad.
Yep. Like you said, Yujiro Takahashi hitting his finisher, which is known as the pimp juice on Gedo. It seems like everybody has a DDT finisher that they call something. You know what I mean?
Everybody has fucking things that they call things.
Like G.O.D. has a DDT finisher. I think they call that guerrilla warfare or something.
Yeah.
It's whatever. Just something I wanted to point out there.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, so that was that. And finally, we arrive at the main event for the 16th. The team of Hiroshi Tanahashi and Kushida, the respective aces in their division, taking on Tetsuya Naito and Hiromu Takahashi, formerly known as Kamai Tachi. I think that's what they should call him, actually. The artist formerly known as Kamai Tachi.
So, I think, and again, I think we spilled the beans. I like spilling the beans a lot this show.
You really have
that. Takahashi, this version, this Hiromu Takahashi, your Kama Itachi, if you will, star of these two nights.
Absolutely.
To me, he came across, and listen, I am not a fan of the t-shirt, ripped jeans, sneakers look, right? To me, that looks... Normally, I would really not be a fan of it. I'm not a fan of that. If that is going to be his look, no. The jacket rocks. The everything else is just kind of like, okay, I don't really...
I think he pulls it off.
Me too. He seems like just a grimy fucking prick, doesn't he? He just seems like just a real scummy, scuzzy prick. Is the only fucking word I can think of. I think he made himself an absolute, I don't want to say a star, right? But what he did, the only times that we saw glimpses of him in Cork and Hall, you had to go back to February, right? You had to go back all the way back there. And while people have very, very strong memories, you still need to be refreshed, and you still need to be reminded of how much talent this guy has. And to me, I'm looking forward to this junior heavyweight title match more than I've looked forward to a junior heavyweight title match in a long, long time. There's something about him, man, that just fires me up and gets me going. And I think Kushida is the perfect dance partner for him.
I am in full agreement with everything that you just said. And you know how there's certain pro wrestlers who have a quality about them? You can't quite pinpoint what it is. And I'm going to use Shinsuke Nakamura as an example, because there's a guy who has just a certain quality about him where you can't look away. He's alluring. He draws you in.
Yeah.
I think that Hiromu Takahashi has that same quality going for him.
Yeah, and he's just really... He hasn't even found his groove yet, in my mind, right?
No.
Like, he's just been, planted here. What is it about Mexico, man? What is it about fucking Mexico that really just flips people on their lid and turns them into fucking charisma magnets?
You think that'll happen with Yoshitatsu?
No. But what is it?
Like, maybe I need to go to Mexico.
You need to go to Mexico. I think, yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what the fuck you need.
I need to go to Cabo.
You need some time in fucking Tijuana or something. I don't know. But yeah, what is it about Mexico that just people come back and they're just they and again, it's not the red hair, and it's not
that rocks, if you want my honest opinion.
It really is this whole dirty, grimy package that he has. Now, I know a lot of people, they were really disappointed. Some people, that he looked unprofessional, or that he didn't look like he didn't really.
They're missing the point.
I think so. There is, again, for lack of a better term at this point, he just looks like just a slimy prick. And I was all in. I was captivated by him. Like he came across as this in a ring littered with some of the top stars, right? But that lineup, Naito, Tanahashi,
Kushida,
and Kushida.
You could argue three of the biggest current draws in New Japan.
Right, and he came out of that match as the focal point the shining star. And people were hypnotized by him and mesmerized.
Exactly. Hypnotize is the word that I'm looking for. When you look at this guy, he draws you in. He's like a vortex.
Yes. That doesn't come across in his Young Lion days. that really didn't come across that much in his Ring of Honor time. And not that he was given a whole hell of a lot of opportunity to have that.
That didn't even come across at Bola. He had one match against, I think, Trevor Lee at this year's Bola. And I was so just unenchanted by it. It was a very big disappointment to me. But,
I'm all in on Takahashi.
What a 180.
And you know which one I'm talking about.
I'm all in on Takahashi, and you know which one I'm talking about.
I do. I sadly do. Would I recommend this show? I would recommend the main event. To me, the Owens Ishii match was disappointing. I'm sorry. I don't have the love that some other people have for the Chase Owens. And again, I don't want to lay the boots to the fucking guy. But again, I just feel like it was.
But I'm gonna lay the boots to the guy.
Again, it's not meant as a lay the boots. I really kind of don't want it to come across as that. What I really wanted to come across as, at least in my eyes, I was really disappointed because I wanted it to be good because this was an opportunity for the guy. And to me, I can't say it was anything more than an average match, and I expected more.
There's two main things that I want to say about this main event for the 16th. And the first point goes along with, again, last week you saying how you want everyone to take it easy and, you know, not do anything crazy. There was a spot in the opening of this match that scared the shit out of me, and I think you know which one I'm talking about. It was when Hiromu does a flying senton over Kushida on the apron and power bombs him on the outside. When I saw that, I jumped out of my chair and was like, "Holy shit. That looked nasty."
Yeah, he is you know, again, this whole weekend, he was doing shit that popped you out of your seat. You know, that spot. Again, the sprint down the aisle in Cork and Hall, hopping over the rail with the dropkick. You know, that's a spot that people are going to remember. No, he had everyone's eyes. He had everyone's focus in a match with the top stars of their fucking sport. They were in the ring and he stole the spotlight.
And the final and most important point, in my opinion, that I want to make about this match is that, you know, we mentioned earlier how it seems like in New Japan, in order to get a title shot, all you have to do is just show up at the end of the year and challenge somebody, which was one of the critiques that we gave for Hiromu's debut at Power Struggle. However, what's the one thing that you can do in order to earn a title shot in New Japan? How about beat their champion 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring? And that is exactly what we saw here in this match. Hiromu hitting his time bomb finisher on Kushida, pinning him. There you go. Now he has earned his IWGP Junior Heavyweight title shot at the Dome.
Yeah, I mean, well, he already had it, but yeah, we could say that technically he has earned it. Again, I hate to beat the dead horse. He came across as the star of the show, and lest anyone think that this match with Kushida at the Dome is going to be anything less than stellar, I find it hard to believe. For me, that's a top match. I'm looking forward to that match above just about any other. And you know that kid is going to be a star in New Japan for years to come. That is the good news. That is the good news.
All right, and now we move on to night two at Corrigan Hall. This was from Saturday the 17th with a crowd of 1,744 in attendance. And we kick off the first match featuring the team of Jushin Thunder Liger and Henare taking on Ryusuke Taguchi and Yoshi Tatsu. If there's one shining moment that happened, well, at the end of this match, you know, I sent you a text, Damon, yesterday. I said, Damon, if you love Jushin Thunder Liger dancing, you're going to love night two.
Yeah, we saw the end, some fancy footwork from Jushin Liger, that's for sure. Again, I liked Henare in this match, Colin. I think Colin, him and Taguchi working together was lots of fun. Definitely enjoyed that. And again, the near falls and the false finishes, once again here, had me hooked. It was a solid 8 minutes. I thought it was, you know, solid pro wrestling. You know, both these shows, both these opening matches were good stuff. And how can you not get behind a guy like Henare?
Henare is a young lion that has a great drop kick, if I don't say so myself.
Say so yourself.
Well, he has a great drop kick.
He does. He does. But again, opening match, as far as opening matches go, not bad. Not bad at all. Henare, once again, for me, stealing the spotlight from the other veterans. And, well, he should. This is a good match for him to get spotlighted and as they say, learn the ropes. Yep. Good stuff. I liked it.
Once again, Taguchi picking up the win for his team, hitting his Dodon finisher on Henare. And we move on to the next match featuring the team of Tomohiro Ishii and Toru Yano taking on Yujiro Takahashi and the Bone Soldier.
Well, again, here's Yano once again. Let me ask you this. You happy to see Yano again?
I don't know if happy is the word that I would use to describe it. You know, Yano is just kind of, he's like a constant in New Japan, in my opinion. You know, you can always count on Yano to be there to start some shenanigans, give some nut shots. It's almost more of like a comfort thing. It's comforting that Yano is there.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
Did you miss him when he was gone?
No, I can't say that I missed him, because I mean, what do I follow New Japan Pro Wrestling for? That's great wrestling.
Right.
You know, Toru Yano is not he's not a performer that actually delivers in that category. But with that being said, he serves a purpose within the company. So,
but let me ask you this. Do you like the element of surprise that he brings? Especially when it comes around to G1.
Exactly. I do like the element of surprise that he brings in the G1 tournament. You never know how soon that match is going to be over with a ball shot and a yank of the hair. So that's pretty much the purpose that Toru Yano serves in New Japan.
Okay. Now, and I agree. Is that purpose worth a spot? So is that purpose worth a returning Toru Yano tag teaming now with Tomohiro Ishii? Are you excited by this?
I think that it's certainly an interesting dynamic. I don't think anyone can argue that point.
Does it feel fresh?
Does it feel fresh? Again, I just can't help but think what could have been with that Ishii-Goto tag team. If the whole Noah thing wouldn't have fallen through, imagine at the Dome, we could have gotten Shibata versus, I don't know, maybe a Nakajima or a Goshi Ozaki or even a Marufuji, and then we could have had that Ishii-Goto tag team. That, truth be told, is what I would have preferred. However, with that being said, will I accept Ishii and Toru Yano together and, you know, be open-minded and see what happens? Sure, why not?
Of the three tag teams, G.O.D., G.B.H., Yano, Ishii, which one you're more excited
for? Boy, you're drilling me. You're drilling me on this, man.
I'm putting you on the hot seat.
Okay, so GBH, GOD, and Ishii Yano.
Yeah.
I've got to go with Ishii Yano, simply because of, number one, Ishii is involved. Number two, Yano brings the unpredictability factor into it. So, yeah.
But let me play a little devil's advocate.
Here we go.
With that unpredictability, with that, and again, of the three options, I agree. I'll take that one. You are going to get break. You are going to get, I'm going to undo the turnbuckle for the 757th time. I'm going to do the point at the shoulders, duck, ball shot. It's going to get tiring pretty quickly. You still good?
Again, I would prefer Ishii and Goto.
Not an option. Goto has fucked us all and is challenging for the NEVER title. Okay.
And he's going to lose.
And he won't be surprised.
Yeah.
Would you take GBH? GBH can have some good matches, Colin.
They can, but look, they're dry as toast to me.
They are dry as toast to me, too.
I don't care about GBH. I'll be honest with you. I would much rather see Honma and Makabe in the New Japan Rumble. I don't want that to be a slight to them either, because they're both very good wrestlers, but I just don't see a place for either of them on the biggest card of the year.
I think I would take a Makabe Honma over an Ishii Yano. I would take a Makabe Honma.
Well, that's fair, because at least you can say that with Makabe and Honma, you're going to get serious pro wrestling, where when you throw in the Yano element, you know, like you said,
you got to really like the comedy.
Yeah,
you got to really like the comedy.
And does Ishii belong in a team with a comedy guy? I don't know, but it is interesting. Can we at least say that? It is kind of interesting.
It feels fresh right now. Talk to me in February.
Yeah, we'll see what happens at the new beginning.
You know what I mean? Like right now, we're all salivating for something new and something fresh. Talk to me in February if it still is. If we still feel the same way after we've seen the ball shots, the hair pulls, the undoing of the turnbuckle, the whole everything that you're gonna get, this spitting of the water, the fucking shilling of the DVD. Okay, talk to me in February, and then we'll see where we go from there.
All right. Well, Ishii picking up the win for his team, hitting the Brainbuster on the Bone Soldier. You know what my immediate words were after this match ended?
Thank God.
Yep. You got it.
7 minutes of fun.
Yeah, thank God they put that one away. Whew.
There you go. All right. What's next?
All right. Next, we have the team of Togi Makabe, Tomoaki Honma, and Juice Robinson taking on Tamatanga, Tangaloa, and Chase Owens.
Well, again, speaking of Yano,
this is what we were talking about.
Yeah, once again, he makes his presence known in this match. Does the old ringing of the bell with, if I'm not mistaken, it was when Honma and Makabe had Chase Owens in peril, right?
Yeah, exactly. So Honma hits the Kokeshi from the top rope, and it was at that point that Yano started ringing the bell, but Makabe still finished up the match and put away Chase Owens with the King Kong knee drop, and that was when the, no pun intended, chaos ensued.
Yeah. Again, more Ishii hits the ring, right?
Yep.
Tries to first, doesn't he? He goes after GBH, right?
Yeah, I think so.
At first, and then here comes G.O.D., they're coming in. They're going to try and get a cheap shot in. That doesn't work. Everybody's cleaning house on everybody else. And in the ensuing scrum, Yano, Ishii, swipe the belts. Actually, it was just Yano who took the belts. But took
he's going to be the tag team champions.
He is the tag team champions. Takes the belts under his shoulder. Back he goes. And we are to assume that Yano has the possession of the belts, and we are to assume that this would make the IWGP Tag Team Heavyweight Championship at the Tokyo Dome now a fatal three-way dance thingamabob scrum schmaz.
By the way, I love how Yano has the uncanny ability to just clear a ring by kicking everyone in the balls.
He does have the uncanny knack, doesn't he, to hit someone square in the testicles. What I find uncanny is I wonder if what would happen if I came to ringside and started ringing to the bell like Yano did. Well, I wonder what would happen.
You should try that at the Dome.
I'm going to try that. Trust me, I'll be 5 miles away from the fucking ringside at the Dome. But maybe at the Dash. Maybe at the Dash I'll – well, apparently who got me my tickets?
Who's that?
Toriano.
Really?
Yeah, I think I shared that story the other day. Like I had extra tickets.
You should
tickets.
Thank him.
Well, right. I kind of should.
Right? You shouldn't be so harsh on this.
But I wasn't harsh. I wasn't harsh on Yano. It is what it is. I just, like I said, come February, you know, let's see if we're all still so, you know, thinking that this is fresh and exciting. Yeah, that's who we're getting the tickets from.
Wow.
Yeah, me, Eric, and I think we're sitting with three of Eric's friends from Japan. I think three others. Yeah, so it's a whole row there. Yeah.
Are you still going to go for beers with Yujiro?
I'm sure. Listen, I'm going to go to beers with anybody, but my schedule is unbelievable, Colin. We are jam packed. We're actually through the classic board. As shocking as this is. Eric and I are talking about having a because so many people are like, "Hey, you're gonna be here. Maybe we can get a." Colin, I don't think I'm gonna have to buy a drink this whole entire trip, to be quite frank. Everyone's offering me the alcohol, which is nice. You know, I like that. But yeah, we figured, you know, let's just do a fucking meetup. Might be easiest. Everybody can meet everyone else, and everybody can meet us, and it'd be a fun time. So yeah, we're actually planning that. The two most unsocial people on God's green earth, we're going to meet people, so it should be fun.
Hey, listen, just as long as I don't have to bail you out of a detention center somewhere.
Nah, I'll be fine. I won't be in a Osaka jail, that's for sure. That's not my thing. They have plenty of bourbon. They have some of the best whiskeys and bourbon in the world in Japan, by the way. So, no, I will be more than fine with the supply of numbness producing chemicals that Japan already produces. I'm good. They come in barrels.
Alrighty. So there you go. Yano hijacking the IWGP tag team titles. And looks like we're building towards a three-way at the Dome. We shall see what happens. And now we move on to, in my opinion, and Damon, I never thought in a million years I'd be saying this, the match of the evening.
Colin.
Featuring...
This was one of my favorite matches of the fucking year.
Yuji Nagata versus Manabu Nakanishi. Damon.
Say that again. Say that again, Colin.
Yuji Nagata.
Yeah, we know him. Blue Justice, right? Who else?
Versus Manabu Nakanishi.
You said Nakanishi, right?
Yeah, Nakanishi.
We're talking about the same guy, right?
Yeah. Not Shibata.
No. No. Not Nakamura.
Not Nakamura. Nakanishi.
Nakanishi. Huh. Colin. He's... One of my favorite matches of the year.
I am in full agreement, and it's funny. Somebody actually sent us a tweet, and they said that they're going to create a pleasant surprise category for the awards, and they're going to give it to that match.
This match, there has not been a match in at least a few weeks, dare I say, that has had me just pulled me in and wanted me to have someone win so bad that I was out of my seat. This motherfucker Nakanishi, you know, this guy can barely walk. This guy can barely...
The Undertaker gets to the ring quicker than Nakanishi, I think is what you're trying to say.
I'm trying to find the words that do the justice for this particular effort that this man put in.
Do you realize that these guys went longer than the main event? They almost went 15 minutes.
Yeah. So probably like around 14 minutes, right?
It was 13 minutes and 30 seconds.
So, ladies and gentlemen, let me sit here and say that, number one, there are times when I've made mention that, you know, you go up and down that roster. And when the spotlight is on them and it's time to deliver and they tap you on the shoulder and they say, we need you to go 15 and we need you to be the star of the show. Excuse me. And we need you to do what you can to make this a great match. Go get them, boys. And you go up and down that roster, and to a person, we could point them out and be like, yep, they could do it. And the run, and a little bit of a joke that we had a few months back was, who are the people that couldn't, right? Who are the people that couldn't have a good match? And I know for a fact that Nakanishi was on that list.
He absolutely was.
And we would laugh, and we would giggle, and we would poke fun that he's going to kill himself, and he does the dive over the top rope, and the senton, and he does the cross body, and you know, he shouldn't be doing these things. It's just crazy that you would do that in a six-man tag, but just knock it off. And people would write to us, and people would be like, yeah, listen, this guy's really trying. It's like, yeah, okay, he's trying, but the end results are what they are. So they put this guy in a match, singles match, and the expectations, let's be honest, were low, right?
My expectations were at a zero, I think.
The idea and the prospect of Manabu Nakanishi in a singles match in 2016 against, I don't care who it is, but in this case, Yuji Nagata, on paper, doesn't sound very appetizing.
That sounds like an opener, like a 5-minute opener on a spot show somewhere.
To put this guy, and it almost felt like it was a rib against him. Like, we'll put you in a singles match, and you're going to go 15 minutes.
Right before intermission.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Like, I almost felt like, why are they doing to this fucking guy? And you know it was, and again, I don't know for sure, but you know it was him saying, give me the shot, give me the ball. I'm going to get you your 2 yards. You know, I'm going to get you a first down, or I'm going to get you a goal, or whatever the stupid sports analogy you want. What a performance. What an inspirational performance. Colin, when that son of a bitch was climbing that top rope and he delivered that superplex, again, this is a guy who can barely walk. His knees and hips are shot. We know the speed in which he operates. He should not be falling from those heights. I don't care who he thinks he is. He shouldn't be doing it. He did it. Unbelievable.
And then to follow that up with a plancha.
No. Well, yeah. He does the plancha to the outside.
Right.
Yep. Correct. He follows it. I almost did a Meltzer on you. No.
You're shuffling through your notes.
No. Yeah, he hits the fucking plancha. And again, he's hit a plancha before, but now he's again, the time span. He hits this big move. Kablamo. The impact in the ring. Boom, he hits the dive. Then the son of a bitch climbs the apron, climbs the turnbuckle, and you think it's going to be his cross body block. Colin, he does a fucking drop kick from the top rope. He does a drop kick. And you see his knees clunk together and hit the mat, and I'm just like, oh my God. What are you doing? And the match was good. And the match, I was in. I wanted him to win in the worst way. And when he kept kicking out, I'm jumping out of my chair thinking, motherfucker, get the win. Come on, give him the fucking win. He didn't get the win.
Some of the throws from Nagata were downright scary. The way that he was just suplexing Nakanishi, just tossing him around.
And the kicks.
Oh,
Colin, I haven't enjoyed a match this much in a decent amount of time. Nakanishi is not one of my favorites. I think we all know that.
We all gathered that.
But listen, and you tell me and be honest, I was never a huge fan even when he was at his peak. I'll be truthful. I've never been a huge fan. I'm a fan. This performance here tonight, I'm a fan. Because he didn't have to do what he did. And he did it for two reasons. He did it for you, and he did it for him. And I'm proud of him. And to me, the performance that he, again, he didn't have to do what he did, but he found a way. to, again, when he got the tap on the shoulder and he was told that this was happening, he found a way to make it work. And God bless that man, because he didn't have to do that. And here's the thing. He doesn't necessarily have the athletic skill. You know, his mind was wanting to do things that his body wasn't allowing him to do. But he found ways to make it work. And if a lesson can be learned from anyone who steps in that squared circle, if you give that kind of effort, trust me, people will fall in love with you. People will fall in love with your character. People will fall in love with your matches. Eventually, it will happen. Even a cold, black-hearted jerk-off like me will find a way to grab onto you and be like, you know what, dude? You fucking rock.
Damon, I think that you and I should take a little bit of credit for this match, because I think what happened was Nakanishi, he's been listening to us for the past year, just kind of scoff at him and, you know, blow off every match that he was in, and he's been building this up over the past year after subscribing to the Purocast, and he said, you know what, I'll show those motherfuckers.
Well, he showed us.
He sure did.
If that's the reason, he showed us.
I'll go so far as to say that if this match occurred before November, and you know it was eligible during our year-end award time period, you might have seen Nakanishi in the unsung hero category. This one match might have been enough to put him on there.
People wanted him in it. You know, people thought he was deserving. And look, his 2016 wasn't a bad 2016.
Not really.
You know, and if you're grading on a curve, you know, and you're looking for someone who consistently and constantly, there's that phrase again, puts in effort. The mind is wanting to do things that the body just can't do, but the effort's there. You know what I mean? Like his will is there.
The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Spirit. That's the key term right there. Spirit. When people kind of throw around fighting spirit, you know, and you know it's a big Japanese wrestling buzzword. That's fighting spirit. Like if somebody questions what's fighting spirit, that matches fighting spirit.
Can we give Nakanishi the Fighting Spirit Award?
Look, again, you're not going to get. I say this now. But this is not an everyday occurrence for Nakanishi, right? This is, you know, we're talking about a match that, you know, you haven't seen something like this in 2 or 3 years from the guy. But again, he got the tap on the shoulder and he made it happen. And to a person, I don't think anybody expected even this match. Again, was this, you know, this is not from a pure pro wrestling physicality standpoint, is this a, Tanahashi Okada match? No, it's not. But again, am I grading on a curve? Yes, absolutely. I'm grading on a curve.
Would you say at least 3.5 stars?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm giving it off the top of my head if I had to throw out some snowflakes. At least 3.5. Come on, Yuji Nagata and Manabu Nakanishi, if I would have said to you, Damon, do you think that they're going to have a match that is like...
Yeah, would even sniff this.
Yeah, like what's the star ceiling for a match between those two? If I would have asked you beforehand, what would you have said?
2.5.
Yeah, 2.5 maybe.
Again, this is not a tag match. He can't tag out and catch his breath.
Right.
He's going for 15 minutes. I defy, you know, 3/4 of our listeners to just jog for 15 minutes.
Hey, you don't know the shape of our listeners.
Listen. I'm going to go out on a limb. I know I'd be throwing up. Are you kidding me? Look, I know we're sitting here with our pants down over, you know, Monster Morning here, but it's well deserved. If your pants are going to be down for the guy, now's the time to do it.
Or if you have a hat and you're going to take it off to anybody,
take it off to him.
Right.
And again, This is one of my favorite matches. Is it one of the best matches? Okay. but they are pros and they know how to draw people in, and they did. And you know what? Some of this credit, even though Nakanishi went well in, and above expectations of what he had to do in this ring, you got to give some credit to Yuji Nagata too. Yuji Nagata, you know, paced this match very well, and
he was the general in this match for sure.
It felt like it, but you know, listen, those spots, you know, that was Nakanishi. Nakanishi went all in on it. You know, those three consecutive spots where you're just like, what the fuck is he thinking? You know, hit it. You know, and then that one suplex off the top from Nagata on Nakanishi, where, you know, Nakanishi's doing the balancing act on that top rope, and it's like, oh, please, God almighty. He shouldn't be taking those bumps. He willingly took those bumps, and, you know, all credit to him.
Do you think that Nakanishi can make weight for the 2017 Best Bruce of the Wade? Super Juniors?
No, I'm going to say no. And truth be told, if this was, you know, people could try to look for little touchstone moments, you know, is that the last hurrah for a person, or is that, you know, the you know, as he rides off, and if this was it, it's a nice way to go out, my man. It's a nice way to go out.
Well, hey, the last hurrah for Yuji Nagata was supposed to be that Nakamura match. And
yeah,
we
right,
saw
2 years ago.
Yeah, we saw plenty more from Yuji Nagata after that, including this match. So there you go. Go out of your way to catch this match, folks.
Yeah.
Best match of the evening, in my opinion. Like I said, never thought I would be saying that. Just probably the most pleasant surprise of 2016.
That's perfect. What a pleasant surprise in a shit year, you know, of everything else. At least you people have, you know, to go and watch this match and put a smile on your face. No matter what trials and tribulations are going on in the world, you got this match to end out the New Japan calendar year. How great is that? Well said. A pleasure.
All righty. Next match, we have the team of Katsuyori Shibata and Tiger Mask taking on Hiroki Goto and Jado. Now, the tag match from the previous night was really all about Goto asserting his dominance and, you know, saying to Shibata, hey, get ready, I'm coming for that belt. Well, this match was just the opposite. This was Shibata just proving that he is the ass-kicking machine that he is. I love the spot at the closing moments where Shibata just boots Goto off the apron and then goes and hits the penalty kick on Jado, picks up the win, and I think both of the tag matches featuring these two really did a lot to build up the excitement level for the big match at the Dome.
Yeah, secondary players, Jado, Tiger Mask, but I thought the match was 11 minutes of Shibata and Goto showing why we should all be excited for this match. PK finish from Shibata. You know, that's, again, setting up. You know, he could destroy everybody in the wake and everybody in his way, and that's the way it should be. Goto still remains strong, and we're going to have a great match come Wrestle Kingdom. You know, I'm kind of glad a lot of the build is over. Like, I'm tired of build. I felt like the World Tag League was build. This is build. You know, here we go. You know, we can all take a collective sigh, catch our breaths, and, you know, get pumped up for this.
All righty. Semi-main event of the evening. We have the team of Hiroshi Tanahashi, Hiroyoshi Tenzan, Satoshi Kojima, Kushida, and David Finlay taking on all of LIJ. So Naito, Sonata, Evil, Takahashi, and Ibushi.
Well, once again, Colin, star of the show was Takahashi. Him and Kushida and their nice little post-match brawl was fantastic.
I have to start saying Hiromu, by the way, because it gets too confusing.
I keep saying Kamitachi. I got to be honest. I wish you would have kept it.
Yeah, I don't understand the logic or the reasoning behind stripping him of that name because, you know, it was a unique name.
Well, it was CMLLs.
Yeah, well, It's a shame he couldn't keep it. But hey, he's Hiromu now, Hiromu Takahashi. And yeah, great little brawl to build up their title match at Wrestle Kingdom. Kojima picking up the win here, hitting the lariat on Bushi to build up the Never Trios match.
Good point. Yes. Yep.
So lots of building going on here in this match towards Wrestle Kingdom. And then Tanahashi, the last time that he will be coming out to the iconic high energy theme.
Yeah, it's kind of odd, you know, and I don't think it went past him. I don't think I think he played the moment very well for the last time, doing his little guitar thing. And look, I know we're talking about fucking theme music and all, but I think it's significant.
It's
a
part of pro wrestling, and it's a part of their character and who they are.
Yeah. So we'll see what it is. I heard he's coming out to Blur's Girls and Boys.
I heard he's coming out to Constant Motion by Dream Theater.
Wow, I heard he's coming out to Rio by Duran Duran. It'll be amazing. It's fantastic. All right, but yeah, the post-match brawl was tremendous. Once again, Takahashi Hiromu.
That's right.
He's my guy. He is. He might be the top of my super excited list.
Can we give him Junior of the Year for the 2017 HeroCast Year-End Awards?
What, listen, that's one guy who's shot out of a cannon right now. So he's going to have a big year, If they do drop the strap to him at the Dome, I think we got a lot of nice potential junior matchups that could possibly happen. I'm excited for him. He brings this spark. He has this little charisma thing, man, that he's got me hooked.
And we arrive at the main event of the evening for the last New Japan show of 2016. We have the team of Kazuchika Okada and Yoshihashi taking on Kenny Omega and Bad Luck Fale. And I think what we can both concur was a great main event.
Yeah, it was a great main event. 20 minutes of, I don't want to say nonstop action, but
a little
really
TNA.
Good match. deleted. Bullet Club coming up on top. They do they put Okada through the table with the one-winged angel, right? Mm-hmm. After the match, the snowflakes fall, and it's Bullet Club with a fallen chaos. But they're standing over top of them, belt draped over, and we're getting Kenny Omega, the big monster push, going into Wrestle Kingdom. I think this is a good match. I don't know if this is necessarily anything people are going to remember come next year. I don't think you're walking away from this match as it being super memorable, but I do think you're walking away from it as, hey, we're building up Kenny Omega to put questions in people's minds as to whether Okada can walk away from the Tokyo Dome with his belt and his title, and will we see Kenny Omega and Bullet Club reign supreme? So the last closing moments of this match was just that, Bullet Club standing over a fallen chaos, and that's that. That's 2016 for New Japan.
Right, and that brings us to Wrestle Kingdom 11. And Damon, you're going to have to start packing your bags pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to the plane ride, but it is what it is. 12 hours will get me there. It should be fun. This is going to be a great week. There's already people, again, on the classic pro wrestling board that are there and enjoying some of the action and taking an extended holiday break, watching some great pro wrestling.
Did they work? I'm just kidding.
They save their pennies and they save their vacation time. And they got one guy who's in the board. He left the other day. I think it's that Andrew Benjamin. I don't know if you see him name post around, but Andrew Benjamin, he flew out of, I want to say he flew out of Newark, Colin, and he got a direct flight. No, he got a connecting. No, well, I got a direct flight from Newark. Yeah. So my flight is Newark to Tokyo nonstop.
Wow. Great. I didn't know that was possible. Did they have enough gas in the jet?
I hope so. Yes. But I always go there because I hate connecting flights. Once my ass is in the plane, let's fucking go.
That's a drag, right? Connecting flights.
Oh, well, this kid connecting in Moscow.
He's connecting in Russia.
Yes, he's connecting. I'm like, you're going the wrong way.
How the hell does that even work?
Like, you, I guess he, because I met him in Brooklyn at the Ring of Honor shows. And I'm, you know, I'm assuming he's from that area, so it's like JFK or Newark or something like that. And he's going to Moscow and then getting a connecting flight from Moscow to Tokyo. It really seems like you're going, I don't know, it seems like a long way to get there.
Well, I hear that Putin is actually flying in for this dome show.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's going to be in attendance.
Referee.
Yep.
He's taking Ishii's spot in the sixth man, I believe.
I think so. He's the honorary Chaos member.
Yeah, coming in on a white horse, shirtless. Should be fucking awesome. So yeah, there's that. So yes, I'm gearing up, man. I'm excited. We just got to power through this Christmas holiday, and then it's home free, Wrestle Kingdom and Dash and all that fun stuff.
All right, so what do you say to wrap up this podcast for today? We go through the official Wrestle Kingdom 11 card as we know it now, and I'll gauge your level of excitement for each match.
All right, I like this. This is always fun. All right, let's hit it. We're going bottom to top. Let's do it.
All right, and we're going to start off with the pre-show. Of course, that always kicks off with the annual New Japan Rumble. And, you know,
the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
Yeah, the Wrestle Rock Rumble. And that's to, you know, get guys who aren't on the show on the show. You know, your Taguchis, your Ligers, your Tiger Masks. And
your Michael Elgins.
Your Michael Elgins. And I'm sure there'll be some fun little surprises from stars from the past. So, you know, these are never good matches.
No.
Let's be honest, but you know, they're there. It's the traditional pre-show opener, the Rumble, so
yeah, I mean, you'll see some nostalgia, you'll see a Kabuki, you'll see a Fujiwara, you'll see
maybe Haku.
Maybe listen, the whole fucking family's going to be there. It seems like, why not him? I cannot believe that Michael Elgin is in this thing. I cannot believe they couldn't find a spot for Michael Elgin.
Would you, okay, I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Let's say, would you rather him be in this Rumble or face Cody Rhodes and lose? Which would you rather?
Does he win the Rumble?
No, he's just in the Rumble.
No, Cody Rhodes. So singles match, Cody Rhodes. Okay. Yeah, I'd rather him do that.
Well, I think I think if he's in the Rumble, there's a good chance we're going to see a Big Mike victory then.
I mean, I cannot believe it. I, truth be told, I don't think he could have believed it. yeah, craziness. Yeah, but again, the rumors of Scott Norton making an appearance. There are those. So, yeah, I mean, look, there's always those little surprises. We're not looking for a great match.
Public Enemy is going to make an appearance.
Wow. Low Key will be brought back. So, yeah, well, it is what it is. That's my thing about the Rumble. It's you're not watching it for looking for snowflakes, that's for sure. You're looking for lofts.
Another pre-show match, we have Tiger Mask W, who we can assume is going to be Kota Ibushi taking
Shh.
On I'm sorry. Am I spoiling the
exposing the business.
So yeah. Tiger Mask W, which is probably going to be Ibushi versus Tiger the Dark, which is rumored to be ACH. Now, Ibushi versus ACH, that's a mouth-watering match right there. Mm-hmm. However, you know, a lot of people argue that shall we say, awkward headgear kind of screwed up Ibushi in that last match against Juice Robinson.
All so, right, well, if they're smart, they'll redesign the mask a little bit.
I don't think they're going to.
No, they're just going to drop the same one on him?
Yeah.
Listen, if I'm Ibushi, if it was that much of a challenge, I'm sure he mentioned it, and I'm sure they have some workarounds. And listen, if they card out the same mask, then you know, it obviously wasn't that bad of a problem. You know, it's in one sense, I'm happy to see Kota Ibushi at the Dome at the same time Kenny Omega's at the Dome, because it would fall right into my master plan. So there's that.
So Tiger Mask W can come out and challenge Omega at the end?
There you
Is
go.
That what you're saying?
Kinda. But yeah, I think on paper, the two combatants are You know, that's a sexy matchup right there. Are they going to give him a whole hell of a lot of time? No, but it's going to be, you know, lots of dazzling maneuvers in a 5-minute match. Sure, well, I'll take it. Again, I'm happy that Kota Ibushi is in the building, and I'll leave it at that.
All right, now we move on to the main card here, and it's going to kick off with a tag team match for the IWGP Junior Tag Titles. The Young Bucks defending against Roppongi Vice. I think that this is going to be a good match. Am I particularly jazzed up for it? Not really.
I'm going to give it a solid 4 on my excitement level.
I was going to say 5.
Yeah, I'm going 4.
It's in that territory.
Can it be a good match? Of course, with the talent that's in that ring. I heard a rumor. You want to hear my rumor?
Sure.
And listen, this is just the street yipper and yappering.
I love rumors.
All right. Well, this is a rumor. Again, I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's false. This is just what I'm hearing.
The truth can be so misleading, where rumors, true or false, can be very revealing.
Don't kill me if it doesn't happen, but I did hear this from some. Cody Hall might be back.
Cody Hall?
Yeah.
To interfere?
With the Bucks, yeah.
Huh, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't want to see a whole lot of...
Oh, jeez, you just shit all over that?
I'm just saying, I don't want to see a whole... It's great that the guy is healthy and might be back, but I don't want to see a lot of outside shenanigans going on here. I want to see a good junior tag match.
Okay, I mean, listen, a little shenanigans never hurt anybody in a junior tag match. But again, I don't know if that is accurate or not. We'll see. Hopefully, he is, because I'd like to see him back and. Back in the mix, and hopefully he's healthy. So fingers crossed there that actually is true. But yeah, I got to be honest with you. I'm kind of 4Zs, but I think it'll be a good match.
Now we move on to the 4-way for the Never Trios title. And word has it that this is going to be in the form of a gauntlet match. So of course we have our champions, Kojima, Ricochet, and Finlay. And they are going to be facing Sonata, Evil, and Bushi, of course, LIJ. The Bullet Club trio of Fale, Takahashi, and Hangman Page. And then the Chaos trio, which, as it is written now, Ishii, Yoshihashi, and Will Ospreay. Of course, the jury is still out on what's going to happen with the whole Ishii being in the world tag title match.
Correct. We shall see in the next few days. I'm sure we'll have announcements shortly, probably right when we upload this podcast.
Yep.
With
as soon
our
as we
luck.
Hit stop.
Yep. I'm excited for this match, Colin.
Are you really?
I mean, I know it sounds like a big fucking clusterfuck, but...
It sure does. 12 guys, Damon.
But again, gauntlet style, so it's not like all of them are going to be in the ring at the same time, right? So
that would have been a disaster.
That would have been just a hodgepodge of shit. So again, they're giving teams, you know, some time to kind of give them some room. Again, one team loses, one guy takes the fall, then the whole team goes. So they're not going to give it a lot of time. So it's going to be kind of like one of those, you know, WWE battle royals where, you know, in a 3-minute span, 29 people fly over the fucking top rope. Yeah, it's going to be a quickie match. It's not going to be long, but I think it's going to be power-packed, and I think it's going to be exciting, and I think it's going to be energetic, and you're not going to be bored, that's for sure. I think it's going to be a good match. It's too much talent in that match for it not to be. Again, the gauntlet style, I think, helps in this case, and I think it's going to be a good match.
Do you see LIJ walking away with the trio straps?
Yeah, I do. I do. Excitement level, I'm over a 5. I would go 6. I'll give it a 6.
Okay. I think I'm at about a 5.
Okay. I think it's going to be a good match. I think people are sleeping on this one, I don't think they should. Again, time is going to be the main factor, but it's going to be a great 7 minutes.
All right. Next match, we have the debut of Cody, the American Nightmare, taking on Juice Robinson. Now, before we talk about our excitement level for this match, I will say that I'm very happy that Juice is getting a singles match like at the midway point on the Dome card. I mean, good for him. Well deserved for Juice Robinson.
Yes, and two, it's not Shibata.
That's right.
So we're winning again.
Winning.
I'm not excited. Cody Rhodes does nothing for me. And to me, Cody Rhodes took a spot from somebody that could, I don't want to say deserves it, but, you know, he took a spot.
Have you seen Cody Rhodes' match with Marty Scurll from Bola?
No.
I was watching that last night because, you know, on a Saturday night, I like to watch Cody Rhodes indie matches.
Yeah. That's a nice way to spend a Saturday night.
Yep. That's, again, another reason why I'm single. anyway, it wasn't a bad match, but again, there's something about Cody Rhodes, like, in that whole scene that it's just, it's a bit off to me.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's not, again, he's not a bad pro wrestler. He's a solid hand, absolutely all those things that people regurgitate. Yep, I agree. It's not a good fit. This is not a fit for me. This is not something that I'm particularly interested in. Zero.
Wow.
I'm getting a beer.
Well, you know what? I don't think, let's just say, I don't think you're going to be alone at the beer stand as that match is going on, and I'll leave it at that.
All right,
moving on. For the ROH World title, we have Kyle O'Reilly, the new champ, defending against Adam Cole. And this will be interesting because their match at Final Battle was a bloodbath, quite frankly. It was an all-out brawl. And it'll be interesting to see if they can, you know, put on a just like a straight pro wrestling match. Unfortunately, with that being said, I don't see them being given a lot of time here. I mean, I remember that the Elgin...
Lethal.
Yeah, the Elgin J. Lethal match from last year that wasn't given a lot of time. So we'll see what happens here. But
yeah, it's not
going to
get a lot of time. We know it's not going to get a lot of time. And if this were held in any other building, in any other venue, in any other time, I'd be much more excited.
Yeah.
Two great wrestlers. You know, am I more of a Kyle O'Reilly guy than I am an Adam Cole guy? Absolutely.
Bay.
but you know, I think they both can go, and I think that they can work well together. Time wise, it's just impossible. I hate to be this guy. 90% of that building's not going to give a shit.
All right, next match for the IWGP heavyweight titles. As of now, we have the champs G.O.D., Tama Tonga, and Tonga Loa defending against Makabe and Honma. Now, like we said, this could very well turn into a three-way with Ishii and Yano being involved. Does that increase my interest level?
That was my question, yes.
Speaking from my heart, I really can't say that it does.
It does for me. It does pop me. It pops me a notch. Yeah.
Okay.
So whereas maybe I was be a five, I'm at a six. I think if they do that, it could be a fun, interesting match. Again, shenanigans, smoke and mirrors. This is the match that you can have that, you know, this is where you can do a little hocus pocus, adding the element of a Yano. I think it does add an extra spark. If they do not do the Yano Ishii, I think it can be a good match. That's a cavernous building, man. That's a big fucking building. It's going to be hard to translate. You can't just go brawling in the crowd, man.
Ask you this. What's the end game for this match? Like, do you think GOD is going to retain? And like, do you think GBH is going to win like they did last year? And if so, you know, so what? So they'll drop the titles to GOD at New Beginning.
I think there's a very strong possibility you'll see a title change, and it smells to me like a panicky move in the sense of having Ishii and Yano in the mix, and if they're in the mix, they're winning the belts.
I think I would agree with that. If Ishii and Yano are in there, they're walking away champs.
Yeah, I think that would make the most sense. Or if not, there's some kind of shenanigans screw job where they defend and they defend at New Year's Dash. But I think by the end of the week, you'll have Ishii and Yano as your tag champs.
All right, moving up the card here for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title, we have the champion Kushida defending against Hiromu Takahashi. And I think that you will be in full agreement. I can't wait for this match.
Pants down, baby. pants down. Pants will be down in the Tokyo Dome.
Don't they have public decency laws there?
Well, look, get used to it because it's going to happen. They will be dropped. Can't wait. It's going to be a great match. I'm all aboard the Kama Itachi Takahashi train. I'm all aboard it. I think he's a breath of fresh air in a junior division that was getting a little stagnant and a little stale. I'm all aboard. Should be a great match. There's a lot on the line. Big stage. You know, people have things to prove. You know, Kushida. I bet he's looking forward to this match just as much as his dance partner is too. I think he's got something to prove too.
Yeah, so, he does. After the whole J-Cup fiasco,
he might have a little something to prove. So I know they're looking to steal the show. And
do you want to know what my hope is for what we don't see in this match?
But mist.
I swear, if I see Bushi run down and blow mist, or if I see a lot of LIJ shenanigans, that would dock this match some stars for me.
Yeah, of course it would. Is there a chance of that happening? Yes.
Yeah.
There is.
That's
but
what scares me.
All right. Well, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think we'll see a title change. I think we'll see a new champion, and away we go with an LIJ Takahashi run.
I think that Kushida will retain, and then Liger's going to come down to the ring, and all the juniors from New Japan past are going to appear right. in the form of right. holograms and
right two Cold Scorpio hologram.
Yep. Okay. We're going to have the fourth or fifth coronation of right. Kushida.
This is great.
As the guy.
Yeah, the fourth coronation, the fourth go round.
Yep.
All right. Listen, I like your style. You should be booking this shit.
I know I should. Moving up to the card, Shibata defending the NEVER title against Hiroki Goto. Like I said, I have no doubt in my mind this is going to be a great match.
Yep. I'm an 8. I think it's going to be great.
Yep.
I think everybody who thinks that, you know, we've seen it before, we've done this before, or this is not as fresh a matchup as we possibly could have, can go pound sand. You're going to have a great match, hard hitting. We've covered it enough this show. I think this is going to be the sleeper match of the show, and might walk away with many people thinking it's the best match of the show.
Semi-main event for the evening, the IWGP Intercontinental Champion Tetsuya Naito defending against Hiroshi Tanahashi and his new theme music.
You're really hung up on the fucking theme music.
I'm concerned about it.
Don't be concerned. Well, here's what we have, guys. We have Naito in a very prominent spot on the Tokyo Dome show. And this has been, you know, at least a year and a half in the making. This is a big deal, a big spot, and I think both will deliver. I know there are concerns with Tanahashi.
I was just going to say that. Like, I find that kind of puzzling how a lot of people, you know, particularly, I don't want to name any names, but Dave Meltzer saying, hey, you know, these guys, you know, Tanahashi's not what he used to be. I don't think that the match is going to be as good as their prior matches, like the G1 finale. I'm not concerned at all. I think this is going to be great.
Yeah. He's always hurt. There's never a time in this show's history, or really in the past 5 years, that we haven't gone into a G1 or a Dome show. And fingers crossed, because he's hurt and he's taped up and he's banged up and his shoulder and his back. We've been saying it for how many years? All right. I get the fact that eventually those things catch up with you and those things, you know, take its toll. I don't think we're there yet. Listen, if Nakanishi can find the inner strength to have the match that he had, I think Tanahashi can find the inner strength to have an outstanding match again at the Tokyo Dome. Zero concerns. Level of excitement. Listen, you can't get any higher. I'm flying for the show. This is one of those matches that's making me spend the money. I'm at a 10.
What's your prediction for this match? My prediction? Pain.
Pain. I think Naito wins.
Yeah, so do you think that we're going to see a complete LIJ sweep for the evening?
Possibly. Yeah, possibly.
I think so.
From the juniors, from the never six-man. Yeah, I think it's a very good possibility. It is the Dome, and it is Tanahashi's playground. I just think Naito is too hot. I don't think you put a wet blanket on that. I think he wins and retains, and we move on from there. I do.
And the main event of the evening, Kazuchika Okada defending his IWGP Heavyweight title against the cleaner, the 2016 G1 Climax champion, Kenny Omega. And what can we say?
We've said a lot about it. I mean, we've gone over it ad nauseum, it seems like. But two guys, top of their game, physical peaks, wrestling career peaks. What more could you ask for? Again, imagine seeing, Steamboat Flair at their prime. Imagine seeing, Japanese analogy, Jumbo and Hansen at their prime. I don't know, or Misawa and Kobashi at their prime. Or, you're seeing two guys at the peak of their careers, going at it on the biggest stage, knowing that they got to tear down the house and they have a lot to live up to. You know, these last Tokyo Dome main events have been stellar. You know, you're going into this show with the expectations that by the time the fireworks go off and the streamers are shooting through the air and everybody's hitting the exits, that you're walking out of here with, expectations of matches of the year. It's been that way for the past 3 or 4 years, at least. His expectations are very high. I'm looking at these Match of the Year awards, and it says something that a match or two can stand the test of time in a calendar year, right? People have very short memories. People have good memories, but they do have short memories in this day and age as well. So, to be able to pull that off, it's not an easy thing to do. They have big, big fucking shoes to fill. Now, the good news is that even though Kenny Omega athletically and physically is very gifted and can put together a fantastic match, there is something to be said about main eventing the Tokyo Dome. Main eventing the G1 two nights in a row is a fucking unbelievable accomplishment, considering the fact that the performance that he had was outstanding and, quite frankly, hadn't really been done before, the performance that Kenny Omega had put in.
Well, you know what it says on the back of his new T-shirt?
Yeah, something like, was it the best match machine?
The best bout machine.
Yeah. Did like that. But you have Okada in there who has main evented the Tokyo Dome. So any butterflies and any nerves, and you can't tell me that there won't be, can be settled down because you got a guy in there. And again, at almost 30 years old, who's been in that big spotlight a couple times in a row. So that's comforting. Right, that's comforting. So, I can't imagine this match and us walking away from this match not talking about this at the end of the year. And I know that's a lot of pressure to put on a match, but just logically and realistically, unless something really gets fucked up, I'm finding it hard pressed to not, walk out of that dome and think that, okay, we got a contender for match of the year
at the start of 2016 or even at the midpoint of 2016. Did you think that there was any chance that we'd be seeing Okada versus Omega at the main event for the Tokyo Dome?
Well, after New Year's Dash, it was always a possibility, but no. It's been a crazy year. New Japan has had one crazy fucking year.
Planet Earth has had one crazy fucking year.
It really has. But I think it was a very successful year. They've created some new stars. And those two new stars are matches one and two from the top, at the Tokyo Dome. And this is what a lot of people wanted. They wanted the fresh faces up top. Well, okay, you got it. Let's see what we got. I know we got a lot of North Americans. We got a lot of Australians. We got a lot of people from Great Britain making the trip, coming over, you know, because the product is something that they appreciate and they want to see. And that is a very good thing. Let's see how the gate does. Let's see how the matches are. I think the matches will be great. And I think as we recollect and talk about the matches after the Dome, I think we'll have some match of the year contenders. And I think this will be one of them. So on a scale of 1 to 10 overall, listen, I'm going. So I'm super fucking jacked up, ready to go, pants down. But looking at it logically and trying to be somewhat objective, I'm truthful. I'm really excited for this show. I think this is top to bottom a really great lineup.
Final notes about the Tokyo Dome show. Just a reminder that our buddy Kevin Kelly, as well as Steve Carino, are going to be there live doing the English commentary on NJPWWorld.com. And a little later on in January, they're actually going to be airing this show on the Access TV show with good old JR and Josh Barnett doing commentary. They're stretching it out over four shows, so I just thought it was kind of interesting that they are getting the Dome show so soon. And that show on Access TV, I believe, was renewed for 50 episodes for the year of 2017. So there you go.
Yeah, so those people who listen. This is not for people who listen to this show, right? People who listen to this show, they're either going to watch it live or they're going to wake up in the morning and watch it, and they're not waiting for Access TV. But this is a good thing for New Japan and Access TV. Free TV, people can turn it on, come across it, stumble across it. And again, you know, this is going to be a great show to watch. So if it picks up new fans, all the better. The timeliness of it is very good as well. So listen, you know, you can't shit on this. This is a good thing. More eyeballs, more people in front of the product. You can't. How can this be a bad thing? So, thumbs up. Good job, New Japan. Good job, Access TV. Good job, everybody involved.
And speaking of new fans, more eyeballs on the product, and their expansion into North America, I just wanted to quickly address the rumors very briefly of the G1 Climax. Possibly, at least the first two nights of it, taking place here in the States in Long Beach, California.
The rumors are strong. I'll be truthful. I had not heard anything of the ilk, so I may be out of the loop on that one. But if it is true, and it does come to pass, it does kind of fall in line with a lot of what we're hearing about New Japan wanting to, you know, run shows just under the New Japan banner and not have any cross promotion. They're going to come in here and see what they can do on their own. And listen, for something like this, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And it goes against the grain of traditional New Japan, you know, and we both know that the opening nights of a G1 can be exciting and have some great matchups and some fun matchups. And listen, if it's in California, it makes my trip a little bit easier. So from a pure selfish standpoint, I'm all in. I think it's great news. If it's true, I don't know if it's true, and it could be true, but I had not heard anything of the sort until I came across it on the internet. So we shall see. That's the best I can give for you kids. We shall see. But if it does come to pass, two nights in California, you know our fat asses will be there.
And Damon, I think that about wraps up the final PuroCast for the year of 2016. So you guys got an extra long episode today in lieu of the upcoming holidays that are going to be taking place next weekend.
I can't wait to get the text from you saying, I can't fucking upload this show.
Yeah, well, keep your fingers crossed.
All right. Well, good luck with that. Listen, everyone, for those that celebrate in any way, fashion that they do. If it's a Merry Christmas, then a Merry Christmas to you and your family. If it's a Happy Hanukkah, Happy Hanukkah to you and your family. If it's a Kwanzaa, Happy Kwanzaa to you and your family. Listen, have a safe holiday. We appreciate you listening. We want the best for every one of our listeners, and we hope to have you around for many, many more shows to come. So be safe, and again, the holiday wishes to all of our listeners. We wish you the best.
Well said, Damon. And you know, you and I started this show out of our love for New Japan Pro Wrestling and our desire to spread the gospel of NJPW. And let's face it, without an audience, it's just you and I sitting here talking to each other. And
that's what it feels like sometimes. I still find it amazing that people listen to our dumb bullshit. But yes.
Really, yeah. It's the listeners that make this podcast and create this cool little kind of family environment that we've got going on with the year-end awards and our interactions with everyone on social media and at these live events. So it's really just humbling and just amazing to us. So thank you to everyone out there who is, whether you've been with us from the very beginning or you just hopped on board recently, you are what makes this show what it is. You are what makes it successful. So
you are the reason for the season.
That's right.
No, that's not true. Is that? No.
Well, okay. Yeah.
Well, look, Colin, Merry Christmas to you. Have a wonderful holiday. We will be off. No show next week, but we'll be back with the year-end awards. And again, one of the most exciting and popular shows that we do. Our votes will be tabulated. The votes will be all counted and secured by the accounting firm of me. So, we'll be all set and ready to go. And again, we'll be back New Year's Day. You'll have a fresh new podcast talking New Japan year-end awards.
Remember, NewJapanPuroCast.com is your one-stop shop for all things PuroCast. You can listen to each and every brand new episode directly on there. Also, all links to Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes, our RSS feed, and you can also visit voicesofwrestling.com. We're usually up there each and every Monday afternoon on their great podcasting network. And on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We just want to wish you guys a very Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, happy new year, and we shall see you again in 2017 for the second annual PuroCast year-end awards.